Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our Ghost Show. We're in the car. We're headed into Jefferson, which is located in East Texas. Our headlights are reaching out and casting strange shadows in the brush and trees here in the rolling hills. Jefferson, Texas, the most haunted town in Texas. That's the way the billing goes. Wait a minute, I think I hear a train. I'm here in the middle of nowhere. Could this be the famous Texas ghost train? A train from another time, another era? We're close to Jefferson here in East Texas. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting in the car as we're headed for Jefferson. In a moment, we'll be, it'll be a few minutes, actually. In a few minutes, we'll be in Jefferson, and we'll go straight to the railroad depot, where we hope to get a glimpse of the real, legendary ghost train of the night. We're looking forward to hearing lots of true-life ghost stories. If you have one, give me a call at 918-682-2630 or email me at jerry@jerrypippin.com. We're still a few miles out of town, so I tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and take our first caller. We have an interesting show for you. We're going to be talking to a psychic, Dr. Rita Louise. Mark Allen Morris is producing a TV documentary about this town and a group of paranormal investigators from Dallas. All of that will be coming up here, but right now I think we're going to go to the phones, right? We do have a call already. And it's David, and I can't believe it, but he's calling from my hometown of Muskogee, Oklahoma. David, you say you have a haunted house. You lived in a haunted house. Where was that in Muskogee?
Across from our line is the street by it. It's across from where DHS is now. It used to be the old Walmart.
Yeah, on the west side of Muskogee, out by Highway 69. David, when you moved in this haunted house, did you know it was haunted? Had anyone told you guys you were moving into a haunted house?
No, but, you know, we've only recently found out that there had been, and I don't think anything to do with it, there had been a fire before we lived there, of a handicapped woman apparently lived there, and there was some sort of bizarre electrical fire. And but our neighbors next door to us said, you know, said it's weird, nobody stays there for very long. Maybe a couple of months at a time, and they all of a sudden they're gone.
David, you had talked to our producer earlier, and we said we'd call you and put you on the air if we had time before we got to Jefferson. And you told her that actually your wife saw the ghost, and it was in the afternoon, and she was in the house alone cleaning up after you were getting ready to move. Is that right? Can you pick up the story?
The house was empty. Sure, from some distance away, and again, it was that she could tell. It didn't seem to be coming from outside, but it was. That's the only thing she could think of. A voice saying, "Ma'am," and apparently, I guess she just ignored it and just went on. And then it got closer again. Said, "Ma'am," and then finally to where she knew it was right behind her, and saying, "Ma'am." Felt that the hand just grip her shoulder. She demonstrated it to me. It was a good firm grip. But like I said, she knew that there was not a soul there. Nobody there.
I mean, this must have scared the hell out of her, David. I mean, did she turn around?
Not at that point. She didn't. At that point, she just said, "You know, God, please help me. Please don't let it hurt me." And then it was at that point that she felt it.
And it let go just like that.
Yeah. Immediately, it was like it wasn't no grip at all, and it just whatever it was backed off. Yeah, then is when she turned around and realized, as she said, it was the same thing she'd seen before. This
David, was it a transparent or a translucent type figure, or was it real? How did she describe it?
I just assumed from the way she kind of described it, she described it so well that it had to have been fairly. I mean, she described it as a ghost or a spirit, so I guess it was, I don't know, in between, I guess, if she could describe it that well, but in that there were certain colors.
Now, David, you had seen this ghost before yourself,
yeah.
Right?
I'd never seen. I'd seen maybe something out of the corner of my eye. You know, a dark thing in the corner or something kind of going through or walking. See, that's about it.
Well, David, have you been back in the house? I mean, since this happened, have you gone back to the haunted house?
Yeah, I went back today. We went back afterwards. But she still had to finish, but she refused to go back over without me. And when we went back, you know, it was just, I didn't really notice anything, but it was the same thing as, you know, I described today. I said I didn't know whether it was psychological or not, but, you know, you just walked in the door, and it just, every hair of my body just went straight up.
David, in your pre-interview, before you came on the air, you told our producer you thought the ghost was polite. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of to tell her. I said, well, at least he said, you know, ma'am. And it wasn't anybody's name or, you know, hey, you or whatever. I don't know how many spirits like that are that polite.
Now, when you lived in the house for the couple of months you lived there, anything happen? Any ghostly experiences?
No, I don't really remember anything. I mean, there wasn't any really strange anything. I can't recall one single thing. But she said she often would see, she said when she saw the thing, she wasn't really surprised, but it had never, you know, been so bold as to do something like that either. Well, and I said, when I went over there today, I kind of carefully went through the rooms, just, I was looking anyway, because we lost a little plug in there, and I was trying to find the thing. But I opened up what had been our bedroom. I closed the door before we left. As I walked into the house, I said, hello. You know, if you're here, then, hey, I'm in the house. And I said, I don't know if it was my imagination or it was the door as I opened it, but it never squeaked. But I could have sworn I heard someone say hello as I opened the door.
Wow.
The bedroom door. And because I thought, did I hear that or did that door squeak? I thought, well, the door never has squeaked. I thought, well, whatever it is, it's not malevolent, I wouldn't seem.
Sounds to me like maybe the ghost didn't want you guys to move. That's the reason he touched her that day.
I don't know, and it's interesting because when we lived in an apartment in Oklahoma City, a 3 or 4 bedroom apartment, that we eventually just had to move from. Well, we wanted to move anyway, but it's something that we didn't really think about much till later. But the kids would just scream bloody murder in just the middle of the night for no conceivable reason.
What do you think was going on there, David? I mean, did they see something?
Well, they seemed to be, when I went in there, they seemed to be asleep. But Stephanie said she often saw something go down the hall and then go into, like, well, Alethea's room. She would have been, I guess, 1 at that time. It would go in there. She'd sit and watch whatever it was.
Okay, you're in the new house. Any ghosts there? Have you seen any ghosts since you've moved to this new house?
Well, I already can tell you something about here. I wasn't even going to say anything about it, but because this is kind of a common occurrence with me now. The other night, we still, oh, it's a disaster over there right now. And the front window that looks out to the carport, we don't even have curtains up there yet because nobody passes by there anyway. And as I always do before we move into a house, I'll say, you know, say a blessing over the house and ask that angels watch over the house and whatever. And I guess this has been about it was before her little incident, so it was Friday or Saturday. I was going to the refrigerator to get some milk and happened to look outside. And just as plain as day, walking from my car, which is on the farthest side of the carport, and about to walk over to the other car, which would pretty much be the perimeter of the house, was the only way you could say it was an angel. It was not glowing, you know, like a flashing white light or whatever you might hear, but it was incandescent. You know, the way, like one of those oh, I don't know, those silly things that you break and they glow green. But it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't glowing in a sense that, you know, like a bulb would glow, you know. But it was just that. It was just incandescent. He's tall, standing, I could see it from the side. So you could see the wings coming out from behind it. You could definitely make that out as opposed to just, you know, somebody's back. And it's just making it, like I said, that's nothing new for us. I've certainly seen that a lot of times before in different places. Of course, the difference seems to be that if something like she saw, it startles you. It really hits you where you live, so to speak. It's unsettling. With these angels, there's nothing to it. Not unsettling whatsoever. It's just very, very nice feeling. Instead of, you know, you would think, you know, you see something unexpected standing outside, and there is that kind of initial startle, I guess, about it, that you're not expecting an incandescent person to be standing outside by your car.
Have you had this sort of thing happen, you know, in the past? I mean, the reason I ask, we have reports like this every once in a while, and they seem to follow fans.
Yeah, I know. Well, the angels, you know, yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as anything spooky, I guess, no, I've never had anything like that at all. And, well, then I guess the only alternative I would have would be with the UFOs I always saw, but I haven't seen those. I haven't seen one of those in years, probably about 4 or 5 years now, I guess. And I'd seen those since I was little.
This connection with UFOs, that's interesting. Well, what do you think? Is there a connection between the ghosts?
I really,
and UFOs?
Yeah, I don't think so. And I don't know if she's had any.
You brought up the subject of UFOs. I have to ask you, any connection there between, well, let me ask it this way. Have you ever had contact with ETs?
You know, the only thing that I can ever think of if I think about something like that it must have been when I was going to broadcasting school, I guess. That would have been the only reason for me to be out that late. And at that time, we lived between Warner and Weber's Falls. So I would go out by the airport and go take that direction, go through Warner and get there. And there's
you're talking just south of Muskoka.
And you get to a certain point, there's a little convenience store out in the middle of nowhere out there, Pebble, I think is what they call it. And there's a little house beside it. Now, as I got up, and, you know, this is like midnight or something, got up about to the house, which there's not a whole lot of anything around there. I happened to look, and there was, I don't know how big the thing was. Just one of your classic circular discs with a red, blue, green, and yellow lights on the bottom of it. Big, huge yellow lights. And all I can remember thinking is I thought, well, you know, it would seem like the people in that house would know something that big was, because it was maybe, I mean, it was still quite a ways up, but it wasn't so high. And after that, and it makes me kind of question the entire thing, and I don't know that's a common deal, that I don't remember anything after that. Now, I've had situations where down around that same area, I got chased by a fireball down the road, and I remember, all I remember is hitting the gas.
Yeah.
I was out there. I got out of the bath, but with that, I do not remember a single thing after seeing that, which, like I said, led me to kind of go to question the entire thing to begin with. So I thought, well, I'm pretty sure I saw that, you know.
Yeah.
David, we're going to have to cut off the conversation. We're in Jefferson now. Thanks a lot for calling. Roberta Scott, our driver, I right down there, I think, is the railroad depot. See down there in the dark? This is an interesting town, isn't it? Yeah, I believe that's Dr. Rita in front, standing by the railroad depot. Who knows? Maybe the ghost train will show up here. Maybe we beat it. Hope it hadn't left the station. We'll be back, folks. We're going to go park and go inside and talk to somebody, or maybe a few people. We have an interesting show coming up for sure. We're broadcasting from Jefferson, Texas, the most haunted town in the state, they say. Don't go away. I'm Jerry Pippin.
Do you have a problem with mold or mildew in your home? Well, listen to this. We have found a product you will love. Moldzyme, an effective non-toxic mold and mildew cleaner. Moldzyme is the cleaner, greener way to remove mold and mildew stains. This is a line of completely non-hazardous, non-toxic, and environmentally safe products that gets rid of mold and mildew stains quickly, easily, and safely. Moldzyme contains no chlorine or ammonia, is non-hazardous and hypoallergenic, safe on wood, concrete, and brick, inside or outside your home. Moldzyme eliminates odors and is fragrance-free, an all-natural and environmentally safe way to remove mold and mildew stains that really work. See the complete line of products by clicking on one of the Moldzyme banners located throughout our website. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Mark, we're sitting in this railroad depot in Jefferson, Texas, and tell me a little bit about this. You just finished a ghost ride.
This is true. This is our second day out here in Jefferson, and we just finished taking the ghost train ride, and which was quite interesting, I must say. The investigators were in here earlier.
Yeah, I want to find out about the ghost ride here in just a second. I'm just sorry I missed it. I wanted to get out here. Hey, it's pitch dark out there.
It is.
That's good for ghosts, I guess.
It is, actually, yes. It's prime time for ghosts. But like I say, we had the investigators in the depot earlier. They were checking out some of the stories that we've been told by the folks that work here. Apparently, several of the employees have had experiences here with the bells on the front door jangling when no one was there, the doors opening and closing of their own accord. Let's see, what else were they talking about? The sounds of toys, children's toys that they keep in the waiting area for the kids to play with. Cars rolling across the floor and such when no one was there to play with them. All the doors were locked. No one was here but the employee. They would hear the toys rolling across the floor and come in. Of course, no one was there.
When we opened up the show, we talked a little bit about Jefferson and the history, and we alluded to some of the things that happened in this town. Now, what happened particularly here? Why is this whole area haunted?
Jefferson does have the reputation of being the most haunted small town in Texas, and there are a couple of theories on that. One is the fact that it does have so much history, and so little has changed about the town in such a period of years. Also, the fact that it's surrounded by three bodies of water, and it's widely believed among paranormal investigators that water somehow or another attracts ghosts or spirits. So, in any place that has had a lot of action, a lot of emotion, and Jefferson being compared to New Orleans back in its heyday, where you've got gambling and you've got gunfights and all kinds of craziness going on, there was definitely a lot of drama and emotion going on. So that kind of the theory is that it has left a lot of residual energy.
In other words, on this ghost train and in this depot, there's not one specific ghost that comes and shows up?
I really don't think that's been determined yet, and that's one of the things that hopefully we're going to rule out after the investigators have had a chance to review their data. At this point, all we have are the incidents and occurrences that the employees have described to us, and we're going to take those and examine those, and we've taken audio inside here during the ghost train. Actually, the investigators left some equipment set up here, video cameras. They've taken many still photos inside and out, audio, So hopefully we'll have some EVPs, possibly some orbs, maybe even some video. So within the next few days, we will know if we've gotten anything or not.
Well, and as we say, when you get a little closer to actually putting all this together, we want to get back with you and follow this project all the way through. You know, you hear all kinds of interesting stories about orbs following people, and especially around the bodies of water, as you say. We've done lots of shows about things like that. Tell me, how did you come up with this concept? It seems like it's more or less a scientific investigation of paranormal activity.
It is mostly scientific. Actually, we're approaching it from two different angles. It's based in science with the investigations, but we're also we have Dr. Rita Louise along with us to kind of give us the spiritual angle with her abilities. And hopefully the two extremes will corroborate one another, and we'll have some pretty compelling evidence.
Now, when you talk about the other investigators, who are they?
The team is called Metroplex Paranormal Investigations. And
you're based there in the Dallas Metroplex?
Yes, sir, they are. And the reason I started this whole thing, a few years back, I wrote a book called The Ghost Next Door, which is basically a series of true stories from your average Joe, everyday people, talking about the paranormal experiences they've had. And that did very well. So I was just starting on a second book, and I started thinking, well, you know, why not go a little bit above and beyond a book and do a documentary? So that's how this thing started. And the only thing I didn't know at that point was location. Where was I going to do this? So my wife and I just happened to be in Jefferson last year, taking a little mini vacation, and we started hearing the stories. You need to go over here, look at the Grove, go here, go look at the Jefferson Hotel. You know, this place is haunted, that place is haunted. This is the most haunted small town in Texas. So obviously it quickly clicked in my mind that, and being only 3 hours from Dallas, that this was the perfect location.
It's ideal all the way around. You know, the thing that is amazing to me is when Dr. Louise mentioned that she was coming down here for this, it just went right over my head. So I started talking to people, and everybody I talked about knew about this place.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's got quite a reputation, especially in recent years with the popularity of the paranormal and the ghosts kind of at a steady rise over the past 5 or 10 years.
What got you interested in this subject? Do you have an experience yourself or something?
Actually, no, believe it or not. I personally have never experienced anything paranormal. As for my interest, it's something that has always been there as far back as I can remember, and I don't know why, but it's there. It's a fascination that I've always had, and it's grown into a hobby as I've matured. So
now, this train, it makes a trip, I think, every Thursday night.
I'm not sure if Thursday. I think they may have scheduled this trip, especially for...
Oh, okay.
I believe they normally limit the trips to weekends.
Okay, now what does it do? It goes 4 or 5 miles down the road and comes back, or what?
I believe it's 3 to 4 miles. It seems like it took a couple of loops around, and the young man that was doing the narration, he tells stories about things that have happened. He tells about EVP. It's actually very educational for those who don't know a lot about ghosts or the paranormal. He gives a lot of background on that. He plays some actual EVPs during the ride. He talks about some of the sort of amateur investigations that have actually taken place out there in the woods, which is pretty creepy and atmospheric.
I started to say, anything unfortunate happen out there?
Of course, Jefferson played a sizable part in the Civil War when all that was going on. Part of the tour with the train, actually, we go by an old Confederate battery, and there's a story that it had exploded at one point, like a munitions dump or something like that, obviously killing several people. So that led to some of the employees here going out in the middle of the night in the woods and setting off a tape recorder and listening, and what they got, according to Blake, was very dramatic, several voices.
Well, maybe we'll get a sample of that before you release the thing.
Well, unfortunately, he explained to us, and this really made my heart sink, but he explained to us that he no longer has the tapes.
Oh, man.
Yes, that's very disappointing. It would have been wonderful.
Well, who knows? Maybe tonight sometime, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we'll find those voices. You never know. We'll be out searching all night.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Find out exactly what's happening. Now, what's your schedule as far as post-production and when do you think this will be released? Are you going to, is it going to be a DVD, or are you going to go to a commercial with it, like commercial TV project, or what?
Yes, sir. We'll be pitching it, first of all, to the major networks, ABC, NBC, Fox. I have a producer that I've been working with out in Los Angeles, and he's excited about the project. He wants me to get him a rough cut as soon as possible, and he's going to start pitching it around. So it may, ideally, will wind up on one of the major networks. If not, then Travel Channel, Learning Channel.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to go with this product at this time.
Yes, sir.
When you were on the train, you didn't notice anything particular yourself as far as being spooky or haunting?
It was quite spooky, say that. Myself, personally, I'm paranormally challenged. I don't pick up on these things. There can be someone sitting right next to me saying, "Wow, can you feel that?" And I'll, nothing. But that's just me, and it seems to be a male-female thing from my experience.
Well, it probably is, and I've been doing UFO shows for 40 years. I'm an old guy, and basically I saw my first UFO in Phoenix, Arizona last November, first time ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, did you get some photos?
Oh, sure, we got lots of photos, lots of things, and we got a three-hour special about the Phoenix lights coming up very soon, involving a lot of strange things that are still happening out there. But let's get back to Jefferson here, and you're getting the most out of the people.
We are. We've just prior to your getting here, we, like I said, we investigated the depot here at the Ghost Train. And as we speak, the investigators are out in the woods, a couple of hundred yards away, investigating what is said to be a haunted coach car. Part of the train that, and the reason it's not attached to the train is because none of the passengers seem to want to sit in it.
And the, do they see things, or it's just they feel things, or?
Well, the story that was just told to me by one of the employees here was that he was out renovating this thing. They had just acquired it, and he was renovating the car, and he was out there by himself when the car began to shake. Slightly at first, and then violently. The way he described it, it was as if 20 to 30 people were standing outside and shaking the car back and forth. And, of course, he got out and looked around. Nobody was around. After the renovations were complete, they attached the car to the train, didn't say a word to anyone about what had happened, and found that during each of the rides, for one reason or another, none of the passengers wanted to sit in the car. It was air-conditioned. It was heated. And people would go in, but they would eventually wander out and opt for one of the open air cars. So,
do you have any idea? Well, I tell you what, they'll be back here in a little bit. We'll ask them.
Okay.
Maybe they picked up something.
They may have. Chances are they did out there. We felt pretty good about it earlier when we went out there, but we probably won't have any results until tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be a while before they can thoroughly analyze their data.
Okay, we'll be walking around watching you do these things and talking to some of the other investigators, and our program of Dr. Louise, we'll talk to her here in a minute too. I think she's already picked up some pretty interesting vibes. I don't know if that's the right term or not.
Vibes is a good way to put it. She has. Rita, last night especially at the Grove, she was, as one of the investigators put it, she was batting 1,000. One of the former owners of the Grove was leading her around last night, around the property, asking her, okay, put your hands on this wall. What do you see? What do you feel? And Rita would explain to him what she was getting, and he'd say, yep, that's pretty accurate. And he did that repeatedly. And I think on every occasion but one, she nailed it. So... and Rita basically told us this morning it was a hotbed of paranormal activity.
Well, we'll talk to her about that in a moment. This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the most haunted town in Texas, Jefferson. Stay tuned. We'll be talking to one of the top psychics in the country about the vibes from the other side. Plus, we'll be talking to people at the old, ancient, remodeled Jefferson Hotel. It's really nice in there, and evidently, some ghosts think it's okay to live there as well. More coming up. Don't go away. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Rita Louise, we're sitting here at the Jefferson Hotel about 11 o'clock at night. Midnight's a haunting hour, I feel right.
Yeah. And we're alone, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, finally. Well, maybe not quite alone.
There
seems to be a TV crew here and a few other ghost researchers.
And the ghosts, don't forget them. Oh, they're all watching.
Well, now, in all seriousness, you got here yesterday, and you went a couple of places, and you picked up some things, right? Psychic ability. Tell me a little bit about what happened here.
Well, I mean, yesterday we were down at the Grove, and it was just a basic little house. I was kind of surprised. This is my first trip to Jefferson, so
Same here.
Is all new to me. And it was
I have been to Hugh Springs right down the road before.
Oh, yeah. Wherever that is.
Yeah, about 20 miles from here.
And walked up, not even to the door, but was walking up to the door. And I said, there's this guy standing out in front of the house with this gray striped kind of looking suit on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. Start walking in the door, and I'm like, oh, there's a girl standing at the top of the stairway. You know, and every place that you looked in that house, there was something or somebody.
Now, I take it that maybe not all these things you were seeing are here and now.
No, they definitely were not here and now.
Okay,
they did not have corporeal form.
Okay, that's and did you get a sense of who they were?
I mean, they came from a lot of different time periods. Some were people that were in the house. Some were people that were connected to the house. Apparently, you know, you learn stuff when you come here. This had been a very big cotton industry place.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I noticed was that there were these laborers that were on the one side of the house. And so that kind of put you in one period. But then there were these Native Americans who were really close to them in the same area of the property, because apparently there had been some Indian burials underneath the house, which I picked up. And they were going like, go away, go away. They were not very happy spirits.
They didn't want anybody there.
No. Well, they didn't want them on their burial ground.
Yeah, well, I can certainly understand that. I you know, in your experience, that is really one of the main things, I assume, that it comes back to haunt people, for lack of a better term.
Well, it's appropriate here.
Yes. Is that people have desecrated these sacred grounds, and they may not even know that they were sacred grounds.
I mean, at that point in time, I don't think they cared.
Yes.
You know, it's not that they didn't know.
Well, I'm talking about now, though.
Yeah.
Y- 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 when you get these signals or feelings, exactly what is it? Do you actually see the entities?
Well, I mean, what it starts off with is kind of a feeling, like a tingling feeling, or a knot in the pit of my stomach forming, or at the Grove, it was like, okay, Creep City here, and I just... It was kind of funny, because different entities have a different kind of energy vibration. Some feel very friendly, and you can just touch and feel them, but there it was just like, uh-oh. I mean, because it was very intense. It was very strong energies there, as opposed to some of the other places that I've been in.
Do you think, and this is probably the poor choice of words, but for lack of a better term, the ghosts, they know each other are there?
I don't think so. I mean, because it was like layer upon layer mm-hmm. upon layer mm-hmm. of history, you know, and I think that some of them might have come from the same household, you know, and were could have been interacting with each other, but others did not come from the same time period.
Now, the Grove, was that a restaurant or a boarding house or something at one
Apparently,
time?
Apparently, it had started off as a residence
uh-huh.
for a gentleman who was very involved in the cotton industry. And then over time, it became a restaurant and I would assume a bed and breakfast. And it's had a number of different things in its history.
And here, at this old hotel, which has been renovated, I think it's been renovated, at least the front has.
I'm so not the person to ask, because with these investigations that we're doing here, I've never been to Jefferson, and I've made it a point with the people in the group that I don't want to know the history. I don't want to know about what's happened with it. I don't want to know anything, so that when I go in cold, and so... I don't know what about. I don't know anything.
Well, that's probably an advantage, though. At least you have an open mind about it.
Well, and it makes it so that I'm not sitting there just reiterating someone else's information.
Now, someone like you with psychic experience, and you can, and you've demonstrated it many times over your career. Is it always mixed signals, or do you find happy places? In places of sadness and, I guess, places of horror.
They change with the people. You know, they change with what's going on. And so...
What do you think is going on with these ghosts? Why are they still here? Why don't we all feel them?
Well, the why we all feel them, I can answer. Why they're still here, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, because they like hanging out.
You think that's it?
We were having a conversation earlier. Why would a ghost hang around in the cemetery? It's not even a fun place to be.
No, it's not. Well, you don't like to go to cemeteries, I know, because you get lots of vibes.
There's lots of energy going uh-huh. on. And then someone actually made the comment, which kind of made sense, was that maybe the energy that people are picking up is all the grief from the families.
It's possible.
You know, and I was like, well, that kind of works for me, because it's just overwhelming. It's, you know.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, about mm-hmm. things, not on the air, but about them, some of your investigations. Now, when you go in here tonight, you're going to walk through the place, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what when you walk through something like that, or they leave you alone while you do it? Or obviously there's a camera shooting.
Well, I mean, I just kind of, you know. Wave my arms around, you know, it's a definitely visual thing, and just start going and feeling. And so kind of depending on where the cameras are will depend on them getting me
now,
on film.
Now, we just left the old railroad depot down there, the ghost train,
mm-hmm.
and you really didn't want to go out and see the ghost, the haunted coach out in the dark. Now, what's the story there?
Well, you know, I might be psychic, but I'm a chicken at heart.
Okay, I just wondered. I was curious about that.
Well, I mean, there weren't any lights out there.
Okay, so you might be psychic and you might be a ghost hunter, but you don't want to take too many chances. Now, no harm really has ever happened to you. Have you?
I've never had anything like knock me down or fly and hit me or anything mm-hmm. like that.
No,
but it doesn't mean it's not creepy.
Well, sure. And, this hotel here, I'm sure, has had its share of tragedies over the years. Most of these,
I don't know any of them.
Okay. Maybe you will when you get out of there. Do people ever tell you anything? Are these entities, these energies, these spirits? I mean, do they say, hey, I was here in 1920?
or something like that?
I mean, not that way. Yeah. And no one's ever... I mean, when I'm working...
I mean, you don't hear voices or anything.
Well, when I'm working, you know, there's what I'm sensing.
Okay.
You know, and it was interesting at the Grove last night. The gentleman that was walking me around the property was sitting there, and he was just pumping me with questions. Is it a male or female? What nationality are they? How old are they? How old, what are they dressed like?
Well, I understand you pretty much batted 100%.
There was one spot that there was a man at the bottom of the staircase, and then the landing was 5 steps up. So there really wasn't a lot of space between the bottom of the stairs and the landing where I saw this young girl. And so my cognitive brain thought it was just one thing at the staircase. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing I missed.
Now, you know, you mentioned, you know, being afraid. I like to act like a macho. But when you're really... In a cemetery at night, lonely, or in an old house that's haunted, you can't help but play tricks on you, at least your mind. I mean, so how do you separate that to know that you're just not manufacturing this? You're really feeling things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know that?
I just do.
You just feel it.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a house that was haunted.
Uh-huh. Now
you know
we're
what
finding
I mean?
A little bit
I mean,
about Rita Louise here.
And so, you know, if you leave me someplace long enough, I mean, especially if it's, you know, one of them creepy kind of houses, mm-hmm. you know, it just brings up all kinds of childhood stuff. And I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, like last night, I slept with the door open. We had the bathroom light on.
Now, yeah, you guys are actually staying in a haunted house.
Correct. The House of the Seasons has, and well... There's some activity, there's a lot of residual energy, so it's like you're seeing this little piece of videotape just going over and over again. But I just kept having this feeling that the room we were in, that there might have been poltergeist activity happening in there at one point in time. I mean, there was just a lot of energy, a lot of electricity, and I just said, well, if it's going to happen, maybe I'll be asleep.
Yeah, well, I understand that. You wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and think you see things, and you're not sure if you do or not. So if you're at a place where already you've heard, there might be things around.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting because I was laying in bed, and I heard a conversation happening in the downstairs room in these just kind of hushed tones.
Now, don't tell me nobody was down there.
There wasn't. There was only myself, the woman that's staying with me, and the caretaker of the property that were in the house proper. And it was 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody else was in a different building.
Now, you've got a heck of a schedule here. You're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and doing a TV show. And then tomorrow afternoon, you're supposed to be reviewing data, I noticed, by the schedule. What does that mean? What are you going to be doing there?
Looking through videotapes, listening to the voice recorders, looking for some EVP, electronic voice phenomena, going through the digital images.
I'd love to get a tape of one of those things. You have any handy?
Well, I don't.
Okay.
Maybe. I think of everything. That's the one that creeps me out the most.
Okay. Now, I'm going to let you go in there in a minute because you've got to walk through and they're setting up. But and we'll be visiting off and on through the next day about this. And I'm just really curious, what's your impression? I mean, this is a small town, an old town. Obviously, they take pride in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that the ghosting is an industry here.
Not too bad. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Sedona.
Yes.
You know, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go check out the vortexes. They'll be mystical. And you go down the street and there's like vortex tours, you know?
Yes.
Helicopter rides over the vortex.
Yeah, now, I mean, that's... one of my good friends does that.
I was like, now that's commercial metaphysics.
Yes.
I mean, this, they keep it very low-key, but it's a very cool
town. Oh, I know.
At
the hotel I'm staying at out on the highway, I asked the desk clerk about it, and she didn't know anything about it at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. She said, what ghost train? You mean there's a ghost train here? Well, maybe she just walked into town and got a job. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, have you ever... really been in a bind with a ghost? In other words, have you been fearful? Has anybody really threatened you?
I mean, not threatened me, but as an example, in college, we lived in this house that had
Where did you go to college?
I went to, well, where I started was Oswego State, which is 30 miles north of Syracuse, New York, right on Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived on the corner of 5th and Bridge. And anybody you'd say, oh, I live on the corner of 5th and Bridge, if they were a townie person, they'd say, oh, the old funeral parlor.
Oh.
And it's like,
did you know that when you moved in here?
No. And I thought they sold mausoleums in the business because it was a Victorian and there was a business below us. But then I found out that since I have zero phonics skills, that it really was mausoleums. And it was like, oh, well, that's pleasant. I mean, we had all kinds of weird things happen in that house.
Yeah, and so you've had a background with this all along.
Right. But, I mean, my girlfriend who lived in the room across the hall from me, there were two women that one had it for the first semester of school, and then she moved out, and someone else moved in. And in the entire year, I probably had been in that room three times because it was that creepy. And so my way of dealing with it is I just don't go.
Well, that's probably the smartest way. Now, you know, you're a PhD. You're a scientific woman. Any scientific basis for any of this? The ghosts and the apparitions? And
I'm sure there is. I don't have any for you today, okay. Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's just a fun thing to do, you know, and I just enjoy going in. It's like, okay, there's a man there. Oh, well, we had this one house, and there were two vortexes. There was an intake vortex and an output vortex, and it was really interesting because it felt like when it would go in, it was going to this place where there were all these people, and then we started looking around the house, and this woman had all this Titanic stuff. And it just felt like it was going to the Titanic. I mean, because there were people coming out of the vortex with these big brimmed hats and the Victorian dresses, and
you literally could see them.
Oh, and my husband was with me, and we were
Time we were talking about it, you said he was psychic.
Yeah, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't own it in public.
Okay,
no.
He doesn't admit it, right? What's his name, Jim?
Jim.
Yeah, well, Jim, we're sorry. We put you out there, out of the closet. We're sorry, fellow. Now, this organization that's doing
this. It's Metroplex Paranormal Investigations.
And you're a member, and you and some of the other people. There's some guys, but you basically are women down here, right?
We're the psychic chicks today.
Okay.
Or no. The ghost girls. That's what someone said. Oh, the ghost girls are here.
Yeah, I like the ghost girls, but psychic chicks, that's got a ring to it, too. Well, I'm going to let you go inside. We'll be talking throughout the hour, and then we're going to come back and do a scientific show with you in a couple of weeks, too, to show that you have a little on the ball. But this is fun, and it's interesting, and come on, tell me, is there something to it?
I mean, for the amount of stuff that I pick up, you know, it's not any different than doing a reading for someone and talking about a relationship they're in, or talking about a health issue they have. The information comes in the same way, and I just report it back. And so I can't say that there isn't something to it, because the mechanism's the same. The way it gets approached is the same. The way I receive the information is the same. I mean, so if I have someone that has a upset stomach, my stomach will start to get upset. You know, if they have a pain in their leg, my leg will start to hurt.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to you about your medical practice there, or whatever we call that practice, because it seems to me that might be very rewarding, but also it seems like you really feel the pain sometimes from what I've read about some of your things you write about. And so I don't know, that might be a love-hate relationship there alone. I don't know.
Well,
I guess you really feel that the results are worth any pain you have.
I mean, I find that it's a wonderful diagnostic tool. You know, because it's like, okay, you must have a headache because my head is starting to throb.
Well, we'll let you go back inside. And
okay.
Okay, we're going to follow Rita Louise, Dr. Louise, inside the Jefferson Hotel. Standing out here on the street, it looks like a movie set from some horror movie of the 50s or 60s.
but it's not a movie set. It's a real town. And this is a real hotel. Let's open the door and go in. We'll be back after this word. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com.
About 8 or 10 miles
left. Welcome back to our show. We're in Jefferson, Texas. In fact, we're at the Jefferson Hotel, world famous as a haunted hotel, and we have Kelly Pruitt with us, the manager.
Kelly, tell us a little bit about this place. It's interesting, and it's actually pretty old, but it looks very modern.
Yeah, well, it's the building itself was built in 1851. It was originally a cotton warehouse. Until the 1870s, that's what it was. But the Corps of Engineers around here decided to dynamite the river and get rid of the log jam that made it where our steamboats could come in. So, of course, after, I think it was about 1871, that this got to quit being a cotton warehouse.
It became a hotel at that time?
Just shortly thereafter, it became a hotel for the first time. And then I think it was about 2 years that it lasted as a hotel. And then between the span of 1872, 73, somewhere in there, up until the 1920s, it went through being, it was a schoolhouse, a skating rink, a meat market, a Chinese laundry, was a bordello called Palace at one point.
I understand this was quite a wild place.
Yes.
Kind of rivaled New Orleans.
Oh, yes. There are some great stories of little shootouts that were actually here at the hotel or within a block of the hotel. This was quite a lively place in the late 1800s.
When did someone first figure out this place might be haunted or at least ghosts show up?
Well, I know that our owners, when they bought it, were not told about the ghost things from the previous owners.
Well, that's bad for real estate prices.
That's right. So
I think you guys have turned it around, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That attracts a lot of attention. Of course, the building itself, this place is just gorgeous. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
They have really put some time into trying to get it back to what it was back in the 20s. From the 20s to the 40s, when Miss Sluter had it and had it as a fine hotel, they have tried to get it back into that kind of atmosphere there. But the little ghost stories help. Now, we still get guests in here that don't have a clue they're coming into a haunted hotel.
Yeah, I understand.
They find out when they get in here. And I actually had a lady call me today and refused to stay here. When she said, "Are y'all really haunted?" I said, "Well, we're supposed to be. I'm not staying there then." And she's coming in with a motorcycle group.
You wouldn't think she'd be afraid of a little ghost.
That's what I'm thinking. You will ride here from New Orleans with 30 or 40 bikers, but you won't stay in a hotel with ghosts in it.
Have you personally seen a ghost?
I haven't seen a ghost. We've seen a shadow play just a couple of nights ago. It was
my first experience,
actually.
I like the term, shadow play. What do you mean?
That was my third night of ever spending the night in this hotel. Was last Saturday night, and we stayed in room 16 up here. And I was in the bed, my son was in a cot at the foot of the bed, and he says, "Mama, look up at the ceiling and watch that chandelier." And I'm thinking the chandelier is going to be moving. He says, "Watch the shadow." The shadow would be on the left, and then all of a sudden it would jump over to the right. And then it would jump back where it was, and then it would jump back to the right. And I said, "Well, it's the TV reflecting. It's what it is, and it's just subtle light changes, just making it switch direction. Turn the TV off, and it'll stop." He turned the TV off, and it didn't stop.
It was still there.
Right. We watched it for about half an hour before he said he wasn't staying anymore.
Could you see figures or bodies?
No, it was just a shadow. I haven't actually seen any apparition, and I haven't had anyone personally tell me about seeing anything, but we've got the little record books.
Well, let's talk about
now,
that
this
record
is,
book.
This is actually, this one that I have in my hand is only, I think, 2004 is as far back as this one goes. The owner has got his hands on the older one that goes back, I would say, probably the early 2001 is when somebody finally thought to have people start writing down what kind of little experiences they had had in here. And it's really...
Well, what sort of thing's been entered in that? Who writes that?
This is actual people who have stayed in the hotel. Now, some of these are people that just came in off the street, walked through the hotel, and a few of them never even spent the night in here. But I've got, of course, the most famous, infamous one around here is room 19. They take a... Either take a hot bath.
Room 19?
The mirror in it fogs up, and it says, "Help Judy Murder." And murder spelled backwards, like from the movie The Shining. So, but...
And it, have you seen that? Or
I have seen it fog up, but it did not say that. Uh-huh. It just said, "Help," the night I saw it. But...
That's when you get in there and start taking your hot bath. It steams
up. Right.
And
or if they run... People tell me if you run the sink for 5 minutes or so, you can get it hot enough in there for it to do it. Now, I actually have guests here... that it was just recently in the last month, they took the mirror down while there was nobody on call in here in the hotel and took it to room 16 and cleaned it and all that and tried to get it to fog up, and
it would not fog up.
Only in room 19. So if we rigged it, we did a really good job of it. Apparently it's some climate-controlled thing that it only works in that room.
Do you have any idea what happened in room 19 over the years?
Well, there's been a couple of people that have... It's the most common thing that I've heard for room 19 is it was actually three women were in there, and it was a gentleman who killed them. And that the woman who was first killed was intentionally killed, and the other two were not supposed to be. But one of the women wrote on the window facing out to the street, "Help," and he ended up killing both of them. But the... What has been reported was he was killed here in the hotel as well.
I wonder who killed him.
That one I haven't come up with yet.
Okay.
That's
it's kind of interesting that you talk about these things. Did this happen in the early period or the later period of this hotel?
Now, the period with the where... The best guess that we have, or the best feeling anybody has, is this would be during the period of time that it was the Crystal Palace, that what went on in 19 happened, and that they were working
girls.
Was
that a bordello?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
With the name, I figured it must
be right.
It doesn't sound like the Holiday Inn.
And see, then we have room 14 that has the Whispering Woman in it. That's,
I want to hear about her.
Now, she... Her bed
sometimes
actually.
Sometimes I like Whispering Women, well, but I have a hunch that I may not this time.
Well, she's a blonde, so if you have a thing about blondes, she's supposed to be quite attractive,
and,
actually.
And what she whisper?
Well, she's mad at us.
Uh-oh.
Because they moved the bed that's in room 14 now from room 12, and she does not want it in room 14. She wants it back in room 12.
Do you think she originally was in room 12 or room 14?
I think she came with the bed. The bed is not original to the hotel. I think she was moved here with the bed. I don't think she belonged here in this hotel. I don't think whatever happened to her happened here. But the story with it is she is supposed to have hung herself from... It's called a bishop's bed, and it's got the, like, 10-foot headboard that kind of has the little overhang. And that the story is that she was supposed to be meeting a guy that was going to marry her, and he never showed up. And so she hung herself from that headboard.
She took it pretty hard.
Yeah, just a little. That's almost as hard as she took them moving the bed to another room.
Right.
Yeah.
You got a good point there. Now.
But she's covered people up in the middle of the night and stuff like that. She's never done anything mean to anybody.
You cover them up like just pull a sheet up over them or something?
Yeah.
Like, get out of my bed.
Yes, exactly.
Do you stay at the front desk late at night sometimes?
Not usually. I'm supposed to be out here at 5 o'clock every afternoon.
Okay.
But here lately, Fridays and Saturday nights, I've been here till about 10 o'clock. But it's usually There's plenty of guests in here. It's actually...
My point was, I was wondering if you could hear noises or people talking.
Well, during the day, on Tuesdays, it's a really slow time around here. There's usually not guests in the hotel, usually Tuesdays and Wednesday. If there are guests in here, it's usually only one or two, so there's not a lot going on in here. And there'll be times when I know I'm the only one in here, and I'm hearing stuff, especially Tuesday because the restaurant's closed too. Mm-hmm. So there's no sound should be coming from in there, and no sound should be coming from the hotel. And it'll sound like somebody's walking around upstairs, or that's every now and then, I guess it's that corner of your mind's eye thing. I'll think I see somebody coming down the stairs.
When
you can't hear them.
That probably is.
And these are creaky stairs. I mean, there is no sneaking up and down. These stairs.
When you took this job,
they didn't tell me till the end of my first day that the place was supposed to be haunted.
That's what I was.
Yes,
my question.
I got to find out about that at the end of my first day.
They when said, they "Well, you made it in the first one."
Well, they
stayed.
Said, "Did anything happen?" And I'm thinking, "Well, what did y'all expect to happen in here?" Well, you know the hotel's haunted, and I'm like, "Dude, what?" Mm. And of course, I thought they were all insane. And I did. I worked for a tax office here as well during tax season. And I went back to work there the next afternoon and told the girls in there, I said, if anybody comes in there dressed like Ghostbusters or starts trying to tell me they've seen ghosts, I don't care how professional I'm supposed to be, I'm going to laugh at them. Because I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that anybody would think.
Well, we got some Ghostbusters here tonight.
Yes. Well, and it didn't take but about 2 months for them to convince me around here that there may be a little truth to something's
in here. Are you from this town?
Well, I was born in Jefferson, but I was not raised here. Mm-hmm. I left the area when I was about 6 and didn't return until I was 25.
Well, we hear, all these ghost stories about various places, the ghost train and other things. And other places. When you came back, did you notice? I guess you heard the stories, or not? Maybe you didn't. I ran across somebody tonight when I asked them where the ghost train was. They had never heard of it.
Right. I didn't find out about this until, like I said, the end of my first day at work. First, I didn't have the clue that this hotel even existed. I knew about the Italian restaurant, but I did not know that
now,
the hotel was here.
How many rooms do you have here?
We have 23 that we rent out. There's actually 24, but the owner's mother lives in one room here. So we have 23 that we
rent
out.
She's still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So she must not believe in ghosts, or it doesn't bother her.
Oh, she does, but she says they don't bother her. They only mess with her dog occasionally.
She have a little dog.
Yes, she has a little schnauzer.
I have a schnauzer.
And
he
sits
pretty,
and will stare off.
Perceptive.
Yeah, he sits and stares off.
And they're also cowards,
So. She stares off into space occasionally and barks at stuff that nobody else sees. That's about.
We've done lots of ghost stories and shows over the years and paranormal shows, and that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Animals pick up on things.
Now, there's a great story that goes with Miss Marie. I had a guest a couple of weeks ago complain to me that I needed to make sure that she did not play her piano at 7 o'clock in the morning again, and she didn't need to sing the Baptist hymn so loud. And I'm like, well, first of all, Miss Marie doesn't have a piano in her room, and second of all, she's a staunch Catholic. Mm-hmm. I doubt very seriously you heard her singing Baptist hymns. So.
And so there are sounds coming out and things like that.
Yes. Now, I personally have never heard any odd sounds or music or anything like that. Now, we have a maid up here that has just left recently that she's had them actually speak to her.
And they would, I wonder what they would say, like...
Well, she says the little kids giggle because the room that I just moved myself out of, room 18, is haunted by children. And they giggle and they tie our shoelaces together, and they like to flip the beds up after they've got through making them and stuff like that.
It sounds like the more of this is, it doesn't sound like anybody's in any danger.
Oh, no. There's a few people that have hurt themselves being scared, but the ghosts have never hurt.
Like me, I probably fall down the steps.
Yeah, actually, the lady who does the ghost walk here in Jefferson was the manager at one point. She fell down these stairs because doors started shutting on her upstairs, mm-hmm. and it scared her so bad she took the stairs two at a time and fell down. But that was her running from them. They didn't push her down the stairs.
Yes. So you, it doesn't bother the owners or you to talk about these ghosts because they're pretty harmless.
Oh, yes, that's...
I just wonder, listening to people out around that are listening to the show, I just their conversation, if we could hear it the other way instead of them listening to us, I wonder what they're really saying. I bet they're saying, I'd like to stay at that hotel. Do you have an 800 number or something?
Yes.
Well, good. We have
it's 866-33-HOTEL. I would tell you the numbers, but I've not memorized them yet. You spell out the word hotel. So 866-33-HOTEL.
And you take credit cards?
Yes. And we have a website, actually, that has some of the ghost stories on it and has pictures of all the rooms and the rates for that. And it is www.historicjeffersonhotel.com.
Well, I see where Dr. Louise has finished her walk through the hotel. We're going to see if she picked up any vibes. And I appreciate the stories. You got anything, final story you want to tell me out of that book, something that really grabbed you?
The one that's my favorite right now is a couple that stayed in room 14, the one with the whispering woman in there.
Uh-huh.
One of the women turned her cell phone off because it was not working in here, and her husband and her took off out of the room. They got down to right in front of room 19, and his cell phone rang, and it was her cell phone calling his.
Wow.
So that's...
So a ghost that knows about cell phones.
They do not like cell phones around here. They will do everything they can to make you quit using them in here. That's they do not like cell phones
a little
for some
tip
reason.
For,
yes.
For
turn
ghost
it off.
Cases.
Yeah, turn yeah. it off
leave,
when you get to the door.
Leave your cell phone in the car. For
makes the stay better anyway.
thanks very much. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now this month only at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production.